Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us Karen Malik, and we're going to be talking about the ABC connection, the abortion breast cancer connection. One of the hardest things, I think, for the average individual is to realize that there is really evil in the world. Last night on 60 Minutes, they had a program about a nurse, a male nurse, who had admitted to killing 16 people while he was the nurse, just snuffing out their lives. But they said that probably 30 or maybe even more people he had intentionally killed by giving them digoxin. And he had no regrets about this at all. He just said he was relieving their suffering. But many of these people weren't suffering at all. He just killed them. And, of course, they didn't get into what motivated him at all. He is evil, and there is evil in the world. And there really are people who are doing everything they can to block the truth from coming out about the relationship between first trimester abortion and breast carcinoma. And they're using phony science. They're using phony studies. Why? Well, there are too many people in the world, and people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. And if that statement shocks you, you really need to get our four-tape set entitled The New Order of the Barbarians, because this is based upon an interview with a doctor who heard the whole story laid out in 1969 by a member of the Order of the Barbarians, and he said, this was Dr. Day, who was the medical director of Planned Parenthood, who said that too many people in the world are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. And this was a way of culling the population, and you say that couldn't be really going on. Well, after you hear our program today, maybe you'll ask yourself, is it possible there really are wicked people out there who are unconcerned about human suffering and human tragedy? Karen, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you again for having me.
Well, why don't you just tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and what the your organization is?
Well, I'm a cancer survivor myself. I had colon cancer 14 years, and this was when my kids were quite young. And our group came together in the Chicago area. We're a group of women who came together 5 years ago, and we decided to address this issue of abortion and breast cancer, because now we have a half a century of research. Women haven't been told about it. We weren't told about it in 1957 when the first findings were reported, and they found a 160% increase in risk. And
no, in other words, if you had a first trimester abortion,
yes,
there was a 160% increased chance that you would get a breast carcinoma. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. And that was the first epidemiological study. And we've had many, many studies now that have been done over the last half century. And some of these studies are very, very flawed. And, of course, among these are the negative studies, the studies showing there's no link between abortion and breast cancer.
You hold that thought just a moment. We'll be back here in just a moment as we bring some other stations on board, and some of our stations leave us for just 3 minutes. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Karen Malik, who's a herself a cancer survivor. She had cancer of the colon, but she is with a group of women who are very concerned about the fact that there is an organized effort within organized medicine. And I'm not saying the average doctor is part of this, but I'm saying the leadership of organized medicine is. I know because I fought the battle for many years within the California Medical Association, and I found what happens when anybody talks about the scientific studies that show a linkage between first trimester abortion and breast carcinoma. And I will never forget presenting a resolution to the House of Delegates of the California Medical Association, which is like the Congress of Doctors. And I said, the doctor should advise women of the possibility of the fact that there may be a relationship between first trimester abortion and breast carcinoma. Well, there was no way that it didn't matter what the scientific studies show, didn't matter anything. They were not going to allow it. And I asked this one woman who was on the other side, who was opposing me, I said, why are you opposing this? Aren't you concerned about the lives of the women who are going to be lost because they're going to get breast carcinoma and die unnecessarily because you've kept them from knowing the truth? And she looked at me with the most evil set of eyes I've ever seen. And a shudder went down my back as she looked at me and said, you don't understand. We have a different worldview. And I think that's exactly right. Up to that point, I really didn't realize there really were people out there who knew the truth, and they were suppressing that information because they didn't care if women got the breast carcinoma. In fact, if you believe there are too many people in the world, maybe there's nothing wrong with that sort of an attitude, but there really are people who are unconcerned and doing everything they can to suppress this information. You've run into this, haven't you, Karen?
Well, we have run into this in the past, and we have some history of this in our own country. And if you just look at the Tuskegee scandal down in Alabama, the U.S. Public Health Service was conducting a study of very poor African-American sharecroppers, and these men had syphilis, and there were 300 or 400 men in the study, and they conducted the study for over a 40-year period, and during that time in the 1940s, they discovered that penicillin was very useful for curing people with syphilis, and however, they did not give penicillin to these men. And by the 1970s, it was the early 1970s before scientists blew the whistle on the U.S. Public Health Service.
Well, hold that thought. Government hold that thought for just a moment
okay.
here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Karen Malik, and we've been talking about the abortion breast carcinoma connection, but Karen likened what's going on today with the suppression of the truth about the relationship between first trimester abortion and breast carcinoma to what happened with the Tuskegee study that was carried out in the South between 1931 and 1971, when the U.S. Public Health Service and the Centers for Disease Control recruited 400 men with syphilis, and they wanted to see how syphilis would ravage their bodies. So instead of course giving them the treatment, which they should have done and morally they should have done, they intentionally withheld treatment and blocked efforts so that they could be treated, prevented them getting treated so they would die so they could autopsy them. Now that couldn't happen in America, or could it? Well, if you have any question, we have a 4-tape set on the Tuskegee study, talking with a man who blew the whistle, talking with James Jones, who wrote the classic book on the Tuskegee study, and then, of course, my analysis of this mentality that really has no human compassion. Saw nothing wrong with the Tuskegee study because it was done in the name of science. So pick up the story from there, Karen.
Well, yes, and I think there are many comparisons to be drawn here, but first I just want to say that not only were these poor black sharecroppers obviously affected by this, their health deteriorated, and some died as a result of this, but also they passed the disease unknowingly to their wives and to their unborn children as well. So there were more people, more than just those 400 people, who were affected by this. And this was our government that did this. And we like to think in this country that the U.S. government is not capable of these Nazi-like atrocities. And I want you to know it most certainly is very capable of doing this again, and it
but
has course, been Karen, doing it.
But Karen, it isn't everybody in the government. It's just some wicked people in the government
who
are in positions of power. But the trouble is that the system protects them, and nobody is ever punished for murder as long as, of course, they're in government.
Well, and I would be very interested to know what happened to the scientists that were involved in that Tuskegee scandal.
Absolutely nothing, because we have a four-tape set. We've talked to the man who blew the whistle. We've analyzed the whole thing. I think that the head of the Department of Health and Education and Welfare was forced to resign, and the rest of them got their pensions and lived happily ever after. And I talked to one of them, a doctor who was involved in that. And I'd always sort of liked him up until that time. He'd been with the CDC, but he could always rationalize this. And, oh, he said, you know, we actually, of course, didn't recruit anybody until they were 2 or 3 years into their disease. And at that time, they weren't communicable, so they couldn't pass the disease to their wives. So that was, you know, they weren't going to spread the disease. But he wasn't concerned that the whole plan was for them to die without treatment, and they were going to withhold treatment, and he saw nothing wrong with it because it was done in the name of science. And this is the problem we have today. When you have no moral foundation, you see nothing wrong as long as you can tag the word science to what you're doing.
Well, the Nazis had the same type of view. They experimented on people as well.
What James Jones, who I do this interview with in my four-tape set, and it's classic, there's nothing quite like it, but James Jones actually interviewed the man, the scientist in charge of this, and said, what's the difference between what you did and they did in the concentration camps? And the scientist looked at him, amazed, and he said, why, those men were Nazis. And, he, you know, he did not see what he was doing was wrong. They actually got in, they got 11 deans, or at least heads of medicine from 11 major universities, 11 professors of medicine. And they called them together and they said, is there anything doing wrong with what we're doing? It's done in the name of science. It's for a scientific study. We'll advance our knowledge. Only one of the 11 thought there was anything wrong with holding treatment so the men would die so they could autopsy them. And this is a mindset of people who are educated far beyond their intelligence, and they've destroyed their morality going to our great universities and teaching that there is no God. And if there is no God, what's wrong with this? If there is a God, of course, it's murder.
Well, you know, that's a good point. That's where the philosophy comes from, too.
Okay, well, you pick up the story, because I'm doing too much talking, and
oh,
people
well,
want to hear what you have to say.
Okay, well, I want to say that there is overwhelming evidence that abortion does increase a woman's breast cancer risk, and I'm talking about the contested link between abortion and breast cancer, and there is a recognized link. In other words, there are recognized breast cancer risks that can result from that do result from abortion.
But of course, the people on the other side, they've got all these studies to say that the studies that you quote are imperfect or they're flawed, or they come up with any sort of an excuse because they don't want women to know.
Right, but what they're talking about is the contested link between abortion and breast cancer, and they already, the cancer establishment already recognizes certain reproductive risk factors for the disease, and those are childlessness. If a woman is childless, her risk goes up by 90%. Now, if you abort all of your pregnancies, you will be childless, but nevertheless, the cancer establishment says that abortion is it has nothing to do with the increasing breast cancer statistics that we're seeing today in the United States.
Now, that does basically because, of course, if the breast matures during the course of pregnancy, it actually cuts down on the tendency of those of the glandular tissue to form cancer. Isn't that right?
Well, yes. And when a woman is born, all girls have cancer-vulnerable tissue. They have very primitive and immature breast tissue known as type 1 breast lobules, and we have breast cancer slides of these lobules. We know what they look like, and they do look very immature. They look very much like a lilac bush in the winter time. At puberty, then, these lobules mature a little bit, And some of them become type 2 lobules, but these two are also cancer vulnerable. And the only mechanism that matures a woman's breast tissue into cancer-resistant tissue, these are known as type 3 and type 4 breast lobules. The only mechanism that does that is a process that takes place in the third trimester of pregnancy. It begins at 32 weeks of pregnancy, and the process is not completed until there's a full-term pregnancy at the end of that gestational period. So this is the only way that a woman can mature her breast tissue into cancer-resistant tissue, and that's through childbearing. And women are not being told this. Anyone can go and look at research that has been done over the last 20, 24 years by a team known as Irma and Jose Russo. And they have published in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute monograph in the year 2000, and they show clear differences between the breast tissue of a woman who has never had a full-term pregnancy and the breast tissue of a woman who has had a full-term pregnancy. The woman who has that full-term pregnancy has permanent changes in her breast. It's the only thing that gives her the cancer resistance. And this is why scientists have found that women who have more children, especially starting at an early age, women who have more children have a reduced lifetime risk for the disease.
And that's really what's so interesting, is that lesbians have, 1 in 3 lesbians will develop breast cancer. Now, they're suppressing that information. Anybody who wants it, I have articles on that, but they're suppressing that information because they want to encourage the lesbian lifestyle. Why do they want to encourage the lesbian lifestyle? Why? Because they don't reproduce and have children, and of course, there are too many people in the world. So the people who are pushing population reduction and population control have kept this out. I dare say there's not one in a thousand people who don't listen to a program like this who's ever heard that 1 in 3 lesbians gets a breast carcinoma. And it's all unnecessary because God intended for women to have children and to carry those children to term. And that gives you protection.
Yes, and this is a wonderful mechanism that has been given by God to his people. And in order to protect women from breast cancer, and when women are carrying a normal pregnancy starting very early in that pregnancy, they're overexposed to estrogen, and women are exposed to more estrogen at this time than at any other time in their lives. And estrogen is a carcinogen. It's recognized as a carcinogen. In fact, it was added to the nation's list of known carcinogens in 2002. So when the woman, if she's carrying a normal pregnancy, a viable pregnancy, one that's not going to end in miscarriage during the first trimester, then she's overexposed to estrogen. It goes up 2,000% by the end of the first trimester. And estrogen, they know, causes the cells to start multiplying. That's why women notice when they get pregnant, their breasts are starting to grow. They're increasing in size, and it's because of that cell multiplication. And what happens is that when that estrogen makes that cancer vulnerable tissue, the type 1 and type 2 breast lobules start multiplying, then the woman just gets more cancer vulnerable tissue. And this goes on during the first and second trimesters. If she has an abortion at this time, she's left with more cancer-vulnerable breast tissue than what she had before she became pregnant.
And, of course, if you actually have 2 or 3 abortions, while your incidence of breast carcinoma goes up even tremendously, as long as you never have to carry a child to term, why, that really gets to, what is it, even 2 or 3 times as many breast carcinomas? Do you have those figures, Karen?
No, I don't have those figures, but I know there is a greater risk, and I know French researchers studied that.
We'll be right back here in just a moment with Karen Malik, and welcome your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WART.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physical uses are to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Karen Malik, and she's with the Abortion Breast Cancer Group. Would you like to just get your telephone number and your website out, Karen? Because I think this is so vitally important that women understand this, and especially girls, because everything is done to keep them. Government organizations, the American Cancer Society, they have an organized effort to attack and vilify anybody who brings this out, and they've come out with some of the worst science imaginable. But how can people get in touch with your group?
Well, we're on the web at www.abortionbreastcancer.com, abortionbreastcancer.com, and our toll-free number is 1-803-0102. That's 1-877-803-0102.
All right, 1-877-803-0102. 303-0102. Now, last time we talked, you talked about how the former, I think he was head of the CDC, he may even been secretary of HHS, but he wrote a book about how they actually, so many of the scientific papers now, you can't trust them because the scientists really have a vested interest. So many of them are actually being rewarded from the drug companies, aren't they?
Well, I can't answer that particular question. Oh, you're talking about Dr. David Kessler.
Okay, Dr. Kessler, what was his book about?
And he wrote a book called A Question of Intent, and he's the former head of the Food and Drug Administration. Mm-hmm. And now he was talking about the tobacco cancer link and the terrific cover-up that went on and how science was corrupted by industry, in this case by the tobacco industry. And of course today this is well known, but Dr. Kessler actually blew the whistle on our top cancer research facilities in the U.S. and he named names, and he said that these different cancer facilities, the cancer research facilities in the U.S. accepted money from the tobacco industry during this time when the tobacco cancer link was being studied. In fact, Sloan Kettering was one of those cancer research centers. Harvard, UCLA also accepted money, but Sloan Kettering's researcher Ernest Wender had done studies, he did animal research that indicted implicated abortion as a risk factor, or rather tobacco as a risk factor for lung cancer.
That was covered up and very intentionally, and these people from the tobacco company went before the congressional committees and swore under oath there was no addiction, there was no relationship, and none of them ever went to prison. None of them were fined. Nothing was done to them. Why, they just simply made large financial settlements with the tobacco companies. But it's all right to lie under oath when you're testifying before congressional committees, as long as you have a company that has an awful lot of money.
Well, and unfortunately, that's the way things work in this country, and money talks. The American Medical Association was also given money during this time. They were given money, they were given $10 million in 1964, and they accepted this money. And this is the same month that Congress was debating whether or not to warn the public about the tobacco cancer link. And the AMA opposed this effort. They did not want the public to be warned about the tobacco cancer link. Tobacco, cigarette packages.
Now, that, of course, was the leadership. Eventually, you know, California Medical Association, they did take a strong stand, and I applaud them for doing that. But believe me, there was a tremendous amount of opposition to the efforts by a small group of doctors who said, look, I mean, people are dying. They're getting cancer, not only the lung, but of the pancreas and the bladder. And there's no question, not only is that, but the tobacco, is hurting their heart and their lungs and so many of the other tissues of the body. We know that smoking is lethal and is killing, tens of thousands of people in America. And you would be amazed at the opposition I saw through organized medicine. Eventually, the good luck one. But it certainly had nothing to do with the leadership of organized medicine.
Well, we did see in Minnesota just this past spring, we saw a tremendous effort, and last fall as well. We saw a tremendous effort from the Minnesota Medical Association to bring pressure on the state's governor, Tim Pawlenty, not to warn the public about the abortion breast cancer.
Right, and this is, of course, even more vicious because they know that there's a relationship, but they do not want women even to know the possibility of a relationship, and you have to ask yourself, why?
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the
Hi, this
World
is Joyce
War,
Riley.
The Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. The ideological and the behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. We remember again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape Geopolitics. Important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, that we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And we'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this afternoon is Karen Malik from the Abortion Press Cancer Group. And now, of course, they recently come up with another study that they even got some of the people who'd come up with the previous studies that there were no question at all of the relationship between abortion and breast cancer, first trimester abortion and breast cancer. And so if you want, though, to get the grants from the government, if you want to get, academic medicine, you're going to have to get grants, and if you come up with results that they don't like, and I'm talking about the population control people who really, of course, do not want so many people in the world, who have done everything they could in many instances to suppress treatments for cancer and to suppress knowledge about the first trimester abortion breast cancer linkage. Girls, they have no idea that they might be endangering their own life when they destroy the life within them. So you pick up the story there, Karen.
Well, yes. I'm not sure where to begin at this point, but you mentioned the study that had been done, and I think the one that you're talking about was because there have been several that have been done that are very, very questionable. And they're being used to falsely convince women that there is no link between abortion and breast cancer. They're falsely reassuring women of the safety of abortion. But the one that I think you're talking about is an article that was published back in March in The Lancet, March of this year. And the British journal Lancet had an article in there written by some scientists from Oxford, and the lead scientist was Valerie Barrow. And this was really an outrageous review that she allegedly conducted. And I would put quotation marks around the word review, because she claimed to review the medical research, the worldwide research that has been conducted over the last half century. And what she did in this, there are many, many problems with this particular article, but what she did that was most offensive and the most outrageous was that she took 15 studies that reported risk increases for women who have abortions. And if you average these 15 studies out together, you find an average increase in risk of 80% for women who have abortions. She took those 15 studies and she excluded them from her analysis. She used unscientific reasons for excluding this published research. It was research published, in some cases, in very well-known, highly respected medical journals, and this is peer-reviewed research. That means other scientists examined the quality of the research before it could be published in these medical journals. But Valerie Barrel and her colleagues excluded these 15 studies, and they used unscientific reasons. Let me just give you one example. And that one of those examples, one of those unscientific reasons was they couldn't locate the original authors of the study. Now, I would like to ask you, how do you find the authors of a study published in 1957, a Japanese study? Published in 1957. Where would you likely find authors of a Japanese study published nearly a half century ago?
You'd probably find them in a graveyard someplace.
Probably. And so if scientists were to use this as a criterion, if they adopted this criterion and used it as their custom, if they did that, then they would have to toss out Galileo's work, his research. They would have to toss out Copernicus.
And don't forget about Newton, too.
And don't forget about Newton, that's right, because nobody can find Newton or Galileo or Copernicus. So that is a totally absurd reason to toss out published peer-reviewed research. Now, not only did she toss out 15 studies reporting risk increases, but she added to her research 28 studies that have never been published and have never, therefore, they've never been peer-reviewed. They've never been examined by other scientists to check for their quality. She included 28 unpublished, never peer-reviewed studies. And that means nobody can go back and double-check those scientists' work. They can't check the quality of the research. And those 28 studies represented a majority of the research. There were 52 studies altogether that she looked at, allegedly. And those 28 studies represented a majority of her research. So that Lancet review article is just totally outrageous, and it's an offense to women. And the people who did that article really are against informing women about the risk of abortion. They're anti-informed choice.
And of course, they don't even want the women to know of the possibility. And that was the most incredible thing. And not, you know, that there's definitely a relationship, although I do believe there is, having interviewed Dr. Joel Brind and have read his work. And he is certainly he's a statistician. He simply had reviewed, he'd done a mega-analysis or meta-analysis of all the world's studies. And there was no question, this was probably of 6 years ago that he'd done his study, that there was a definite causal relationship between first trimester abortions and breast carcinoma. But you see, there are people with a different worldview. And what's so difficult for people to understand is that these people will use a phony science to prove their point. Why? Because they don't want women to stop having abortions. That's what it's all about.
It's a money-making industry, just as tobacco was. There's an enormous amount of money involved in this. And we're also looking at the pharmaceutical industry, which is involved in making abortifacient drugs. These are drugs that induce abortion. in women. We're thinking of, I'm talking about the RU486, for instance, which does induce an abortion, an early first trimester abortion. So we're talking about a great deal of money that's involved, and we know that industry does corrupt science. Not only that, but for doctors, some of these medical organizations who are opposing this abortion breast cancer link, I'm confident that they're doing it in part because doctors now are being sued for not telling women about the increase in risk, the increased risk of breast cancer. And we actually had a lawsuit that was settled back in October of last year. There was a 17-year-old girl who had a second trimester abortion, and she was not told about the risk of breast cancer, and she was not told by her physician about the risk of emotional harm being done to her. And so she sued him, and she did collect a good sum of money.
Well, I think it's a terrible situation when we have to resort to lawyers to make a medical profession do what it should do. The trouble is that the average doctor doesn't know this because he's never seen these studies. They are not discussed at medical meetings. And I'll never forget when I brought this up at the House of Delegates at the California Medical Association. And, you know, of course, they had a little scientific board there, and they sort of scoffed and said, where are the studies? So I brought up this pile of studies that I had about, you know, about 30 studies at the time, and plopped them down, you know, and I said, here are the scientific studies. Well, of course, then they appointed a special committee made up of people who were all pro-choice, and they looked at it, and there was no way they were going to give a fair appraisal. It's sort of like, well, when the government wants to cover something up, they always have a government commission made up of people selected by the government to come up with a predetermined decision that, that the government has made. And they do this in medicine as well. And I know this, having been part of it and having fought the system, and you realize that the hierarchy has no reason at all to go along with what's best for the people or what the average doctor really believes in what they want, because most doctors are good people. But the hierarchy of organized medicine, I have very little use for. Why would anybody spend, you know, 20 years to become the president of a major medical organization unless they had an agenda? I wish that most of them were good, and occasionally there are people who rise to positions of power because they're motivated by good. But I always find more often the evil are the ones who get to the positions of power, and they're the ones who are the most dedicated. They're not that many well-motivated, but there are an awful lot of people with a bad motivation.
Well, we do have five medical organizations that recognize a cause and effect relationship between abortion and breast cancer, and we have a sixth medical organization that has taken a tremendous interest in this, and that is the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons.
Well, now, what are the other five? Because I know AAPS, I'm a member of that myself.
Okay, the other five are the National Physician Center for Family Resources, the Catholic Medical Association, the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, the Polycarp Research Institute, and the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute. All of these five have recognized the link between abortion and breast cancer. But in all fairness to doctors, I want to say that I think that for most of them, they probably don't have the time to look at the mountain of research that has been published over the last half century. And I believe that they are relying on the opinions of others.
Well,
relying on the National Cancer Institute and the American Cancer Society and other cancer groups, which simply are not accurately portraying or representing the research.
Well, now, do you have material that you will send out to people who really want to get more information?
Yes. Actually, our the best source is the abortionbreastcancer.com web address. We do have some other paper material, you know, other information that we could send if people want to contact us. And, you know, I would like to just bring up one other comparison. The other part of the problem, I think, for doctors is some of them have performed abortions. Some of them have referred women to abortions. And this is going to make them more reluctant to recognize that they have harmed their patients in some way. It's very difficult for a doctor to admit that he might have caused his patient some harm, unknowingly caused his patient some harm. If you look back into history, there are many examples of this with the medical profession where it's taken them some time to adopt new views and to accept new research. And if you look at what happened with Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis, who is a Hungarian doctor back in the 1840s, he recognized, he observed that there were more patients of doctors who were giving birth and then dying after childbirth than there were patients of midwives who were dying. So the midwives' patients were more likely to survive than the doctor's patients were. And Dr. Semmelweis observed that the midwives had better hand washing practices, but the doctors weren't washing their hands. They were going from the mortician's room, from the mortuary, into labor and delivery without washing their hands. And so Dr. Semmelweis encouraged his colleagues to start washing their hands. And what was their response? They ridiculed him. They took away his hospital privileges, and he ended up dying in an insane asylum. And it wasn't until the 1870s when Louis Pasteur came up with germ theory, and germ theory became accepted by doctors, that the doctors adopted Dr. Semmelweis's hand-washing precautions.
Well, that's absolutely right. It's an amazing, amazing story. Now, if any of the physicians out there would like a list, because we still have packets that I put together many years ago, of the scientific studies. So if you were a physician out there and you'd like a list and actually see the scientific studies, we have them, and we'll be glad to get them for you. So if you'd, or you want to get them for your physician, you get your physician to actually read them, why, we'll provide them for you. And our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And we'll get you a packet of these articles, and some of these are the ones I presented at the California Medical Association, with a supposition that, or with a proposition that doctors should tell women of the possibility, not the absolute certainty, but the possibility that there's a relationship. And I believe it is not a possibility. I believe it's very real. And we see the increasing incidence of breast carcinoma, and nobody wants to address the truth, and that there really is evil in the world, and there really are people who are blocking women and young girls from understanding that the life that they're taking when they have an abortion could also be their own.
Well, I think there's another piece of news that the doctors might take an interest in, and that is a British Journal of Cancer study that was reported in July, in the July issue. And in this particular study, the researcher, Patrick Carroll, is a statistician and an actuary, and he found that abortion was the best predictor of British breast cancer trends. And what makes this particular study so valuable and of particular significance is that he relied on historic national data for his research. He relied on the government statistics of abortions and breast cancer cases, and they capture nearly all the abortions and breast cancers in Great Britain. And so he was able to use this terrific database for his research, and the reason why this is so significant is that this type of research is not limited by the potential flaw called recall bias. In other words, he didn't rely on women's reports of their abortions, because women are sometimes reluctant to report their abortions. So because he didn't use interviews, and because he used national statistics that captured nearly every abortion and breast cancer case, This is what makes his study so very strong.
And everything will be done, of course, to suppress that information, just like so many other things that influence our health, we're not getting the true story about. Well, I'm surprised we haven't had any calls. I assume that's because everybody's been so interested in what you had to say, Karen. Karen, would you like to just give some parting thoughts to our listeners before we let you go?
Yes, www.abortionbreastcancer.com. Take a look at our website. We expect to have a press release coming out about more suppression from medical journals, suppression of the abortion breast cancer research.
And, of course, I've talked to a fair number of doctors who are aware of this. They're trying to get the information out, being blocked at every turn by the people who control the reins of organized medicine, which I believe in many respects is hazardous to our health. Thank you so much, Karen. God bless you. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's
four
interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have a great four-tape set. It's called, pardon me, it's a three-video tape set. It's called The Amazing Clips. And there, of course, you'll hear one of our major religious evangelical leaders saying, you don't have to be a Christian to get into heaven. You'll find the leaders of both our churches and our political system talking about the New World Order, how we're going to have a New World Order. You'll actually hear the testimony given before the investigating committee, the Iran-Contra investigating committee, when Congressman Jack Brooks was trying to ask Oliver North about the fact that he had worked on a program to suspend freedom in case of a national emergency and suspend the Constitution and put people into camps, and he keeps being interrupted by Senator Inouye. It's fascinating to see that actual footage from CNN or whoever shot the footage, and you'll actually hear then after Senator Inouye has interrupted several times and said, we can't discuss that here. This is not appropriate for this discussion. The truth of the matter is, he doesn't want the American people to know that there is a plan. But then you'll hear Congressman Gonzalez say, yes, the only person who got close to the truth was Congressman Jack Brooks. And there is a plan in case of a national emergency or a terrorist attack to arrest American citizens and put them into detention camps. And, of course, they are setting up camps, but they're, of course, in case of civil unrest in America. Now, what do they know that you and I don't know? Well, I think that the three-tape set, it's called Amazing Clips. It's about 4 hours of viewing, but it's certainly one of the most powerful videos that we have that put together by our friend Dave Wagner. That's the Amazing Clips. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I want to remind all of our listeners that we are going to have an all-day seminar here in the Santa Cruz, Monterey Bay area. That's going to be on the 6th of November. It's going to be the Aptos Seascape, and it's going to start early in the morning and got to go through to 5 in the evening. And so we hope that many of you will give us a call at 1-800-5 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Make your reservations. Lunch is going to be served, and we've had a good time the last few years we've done this. We're bringing in some great speakers, and there'll be an opportunity to meet the like-minded people. But more than that, of course, to get the information that you can use to help get the truth out. So that's the 6th of November, an all-day seminar here in the Monterey area. Call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Going along with this idea of suppressing the truth about the abortion, breast carcinoma link, we have a four-tape set on why do we still have cancer. We have a four-tape set on population control, and we have a video on population control, and we recommend that you get this information. We have a four-tape set on why do we still have cancer. Why do we still have cancer? A four-tape set on Laetril and what was known about Laetril. Now, Laetril has been outlawed in California and in certain many of the states here in the United States because the government is there to protect you. You must understand that. Laetril, they will tell you, doesn't work, and yet I've talked to the head of the National Cancer Institute Research Division. His name was Dean Burke. I talked to him maybe 20 years ago. He told me, of course, Laetril works. I've got filing cabinets full of this. I'm in charge of research here. But everything is being done to suppress the use of Laetril. So we have a four-tape set. You can listen to it. And then we have, of course, a four-tape set on fluoride. Would they poison our children with fluoride? Would they poison adults? Would they give us something that would decrease fertility? Would they give us something that would decrease our mental acuity? Would they give us something that would reduce cancer and put it into our water in the name of preventing casualty cavities? Well, you need to get this four-tape set on fluoride, and you'll never look at that subject again. There's a four-tape set on mercury and mercury fillings and the mercury in the vaccines that they give our children. And, oh, they will tell you we've taken it out of the vaccine. Well, no, they took it out of childhood vaccines, at least they tell us they have, but they left it in the influenza vaccine, and they tell us we've got to give your child an influenza vaccine. I got about 50 times the maximum possible level of mercury, and they're giving it to children across America. That's the four-tape set on mercury. Four-tape set on aspartame, the NutraSweet. Oh, everybody's drinking Diet Coke. Isn't it wonderful? You're going to get skin. No, actually, you're going to get fatter because it actually produces obesity. There are things there that have an effect on your brain. It produces brain carcinoma. It produces convulsions. And they know that. They've known that all along. And the FDA for 15 years fought legalizing it. And then, of course, they put a man in charge of the FDA for one reason, to get aspartame legalized, because there were hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars profit. And then, of course, the man left the FDA, and where do you think he worked to work for? He went to work for Cereal, who actually produced NutraSweet. Knowing full well it produced brain tumors, it produced convulsions, and so many other things. We have a four-tape set on aspartame. You need to get this information. You need to listen to it. You need to decide, could this really be true? And then, of course, I suggest Dr. Russell Blaylock's excellent book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Remember, all of these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website at radioliberty.com and you can get more information. We'll be glad to send you a free copy of our July newsletter that tells you what really happened on September 11th. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow, when we'll be back with you once again, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.